Praise God. I want you to go in your Bibles today, if you have them, to the book of Acts and chapter 9. Book of Acts and chapter 9. And I'm going to start reading at verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered in the house and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Wow, I want to speak to you this morning. I'm not sure which way I'm supposed to point this, but let's have a go. Praise God. I want you to turn to someone this morning and say these things or this thing to each other. Go on, take the risk. Actually, you sounded very Czech Republican then, because they're a very reserved people. Right? So, and I'm telling them how really full of faith and power you are in the UK. So I'm going to give you one more chance just to say that. Go on, take the risk.
Go on, take the risk.
That's better. That's better. Praise God. So I want to talk about this subject because, as you well know, the real risk is if you do nothing. If you do nothing. Now, the leadership here at the fellowship, we're planning a couple of weeks of really good outreach into our community and events. And it's really imperative that we reach out to the people around us. Basil, from India, I was with him. We were speaking at a forum together just recently down in Romford. Daryl came along and he said these things. He said, we began to encourage the church more to be looking outward and to begin to share their faith with other people. He said, and what surprised us most, that in about a month, 170 people got saved. And it threw us into complete confusion. So it's a good point to think about with all our story. Do we want another 170 our stories? Because you might not get your safety place to sit on a Sunday. Yeah? You might not be able to sneak up the back anymore because it's already taken. Yeah? So we need to be real about this, don't we? It's not just something that we kind of think is going to happen, you know, without any involvement from us. And so I want to just share with you this morning one of the traps of the enemy is to lock us into fear, and I want to encourage us to take some risks for God as we approach this outreach. So let me begin by putting this up. Let's see if that comes up. Is it going to come up? Yeah, I left it on. Now I turned it back on. Help! Is that number one? Yes, there we go. Okay. Here's what I want to say from this passage. Well, first, let's get the passage in our mind. Ananias is probably gone to bed. because the Arabic version of this passage actually says, at night the Lord spoke to him. Most of us go to bed at night. I'm in bed for 10 o'clock, so I can get up and do all I need to do the next day. Yeah? The Bible does tell you, by the way, in Proverbs, it is foolishness to stay up late. So there's a nice little hidden rebuke to get to bed on time and turn that goggle box off. That's an old one, isn't it? The goggle box. My principal at Bible school hated television and he called it the flat-nosed Babylonian God. Right? And sometimes, you know, it's not only the TV today. You know, it's wonderful to live for a day or two without Facebook. Keep you up at night, somebody telling you what they had for breakfast. And so he was probably in bed. And the Lord spoke to him, shared with him some revelation. And he got up and went to Straight Street, found Paul, Saul of Tarsus, and obeyed what Jesus had told him to do. Right, simple story, isn't it? But I want us to get a little bit more out of it, but I want to tie it into some stuff that needs to be addressed in our culture and our society, and even as we're affected by it as Christians. First is this: risk means you step out of the safety mode. Can I just say to you, as a culture, we are obsessed with safety. We're obsessed with safety. Safety has become the holy grail of modern society. Avoid all risks at all costs. I was sat at the front on EasyJet the other week. The stewardess was sat right in front of me. And she looked me in the eye. She was speaking on the... Your safety is our priority. Yeah? And then the plane took off. And they'd forgot to lock the bins in the little hatch area where they serve. And they all fell out as we took off. Your safety is our priority. Crash! Actually, I just heard my wife muttering there. She does listen to me. Praise God. It wasn't EasyJet, it was Ryanair. I came back with EasyJet. I went out with Ryanair. Your safety is our priority. How many people came in a car today? Oh, quite a few of you. Are you going to go home in your car? Are you going to go home in your car? Okay, well, 2016 statistics, 1,732 people died in car accidents. You going to go home in your car? I'll tell you what, I feel safer already. But have you noticed in your home, in everything today, you've even got cover for your phone or insurance for everything? We must be safe. Why? Why do you want to be safe? Well, let me say that it could be that you want to stay safe so you can live a long, peaceful and comfortable life, and die at a respectable age. Well, I want to tell you, you're in the wrong religion then. What? Because, first and foremost, in our society, according to the leader of the MI5 recently, I watched on television after the last terrorist attack, he said, total safety does not exist. And so, I hope you don't, but I've already had a couple of people today tell me they've had falls and accidents just recently. Total safety does not exist. And do you know something further? Total safety is at odds with Christ's teaching. Did you know that? total safety. If we're going to fulfill the commission of Jesus, then our commitment to Christ is costly. He said, I'm going to send you out as lambs amongst wolves. Yeah? He might as well have said, right, I'm going to send you out for the wolves' lunch. But what he wanted us to understand is this, that basically when we do something and we take a risk for God, we have to become very vulnerable. And we have to realize, listen, I'll just turn to it quickly and read it to you in Matthew chapter 6, just in case you think, what's Paul really saying? Did Jesus really say this, or is he making it up? Listen, Matthew 6, this is, do you love Jesus? Oh, one or two do, praise God. Yeah. Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own. I wish you'd have said something different there, wouldn't you? Sufficient unto the day is its own pleasures. I don't say that. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. Blow me, Dan, I've got saved into a heap of trouble. Did you not find that when you got saved? I was wonderful. Fell in love with Jesus. He changed me and cleansed me. I knew it, and my heart was filled with the Holy Spirit. Whatever. And then I went out into the world, and I thought, it's going to be fantastic. It was hell on earth. Things don't always get better when you get saved. Sometimes they get worse. But it's all part of being a Christian. By the way, can I just say to you also in Matthew 10, flick over a few more pages. You still love Jesus? Amen. He who finds his life, verse 39, will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you know, sometimes it's possible to think that Christianity is Jesus becoming a bolt-on to my life. You know, you bring all two now and you go abroad and say, we can give you a bolt-on for the weekend. For you older generation, that doesn't mean they put a bolt in my phone. That means they add something to my allowance. But Jesus is not a bolt-on to our existing life. He says, hey, listen, when I save you, part of the deal is that you lay down your life. So total safety is at odds with Christ's teaching. And to reach our world, the world in which me and you live in, we have to realize total security does not exist. Minimized, yes, if we can, but we have to step out of our comfort and safety zones. Some of you know I'm chairman of Shelter Now UK, the people we train and help and interview to go into places like Afghanistan and Tajikistan and other ones with that ending. It simply means stand, simply means land of. Those people, when they go, they know they're going into high-risk zones. I have probably three or four emails, texts every week about what bombs have gone off in Kabul and so on, all those things. And I know there's people that we love and know and are serving Jesus right there in those places. So when I'm reading those emails and Mary shouts, do you want a cappuccino, I realize it's not much of a difficulty for me to try to share Jesus with my postman. You get the difference? See, back in history, some people were so committed to Jesus that actually when they got on the boats to go abroad, they'd already been measured up with their coffins and took them with them because they knew the countries like Sierra Leone and others where all the diseases were just so vile that they would be dead in 6 months. Wow. All I'm saying to you is this, that when we're looking at what we're trying to do here, it's not really hard at all. It's not really hard at all. Now, let me say, what this proverb from a Latin proverb says, danger can never be overcome without taking risks. Yeah? So if we're going to start reaching out to people, right, we're going to find some amazing things that will happen. Let me go on to the next one. Oh, that's the wrong way. There you go. It's a new one. I'm just getting used to it. Let me say this to you. Risk increases when you are a disciple, not just a believer. Have you noticed that? In verse 10, go back to Acts chapter 9 now. Acts chapter 9, here we go. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple. Right? Now I don't know whether you know much about Ananias. There's not much else recorded about him in the Bible, but church history, you know, tells us that probably Ananias left Jerusalem, because he's got a Jewish name, because of persecution, but not to actually be worried about his own safety, but that many believers had left because they were fearful, and he went to carry on pastoring them, to encourage them to keep going on with God no matter what the problem was. And some even saying he was more than a deacon, he might have even been a bishop, but he was certainly in some form of leadership. But what I love about this is it shows me that God sorts him out. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, the eyes of the Lord go up and down the earth looking for someone to whom he can show himself strong. God wants to find people who are willing to get involved in his plan and his purpose and are willing to take the risk. But risk increases when you're a disciple, not just a believer. It shows me that this man actually was in touch with God. He had a walk with God. God knew him. He could rely on him. I haven't got time this morning, but I've just preached a message somewhere else, but God showed me. It is amazing to look in the Acts of the Apostles who the risen Christ appeared to in the book of Acts. Do a little study. I'll help you. First, he comes to the disciples. I'm not saying others quoting Jesus. I'm saying where Jesus, in the present tense, actually appears or comes in a vision to people when he's risen from the dead. You know what he does first? He says to the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem unless you're full of my Holy Spirit. So what we can say is this. For those who are going to go out with the gospel, one of the real qualifications was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A few other times, one is here, where he speaks to Ananias. The other two times are when he speaks to Paul. When Paul's afraid and he comes to him, Jesus, and says, don't be worried, Paul, about going to Corinth. I'm going to be with you, and I've got many people there I'm going to save. Right? It's quite interesting, because actually, where Jesus risen from the dead, turns up in the Acts of the Apostles to speak, it's usually to do with mission. It's to do with standing and being a witness. How many people here this week would like Jesus to come closer to you? It could just happen when you start to take the risk. Okay, so risk increases when you're a disciple. He has a vision and Jesus tells him what to do. Now listen, risk has to be measured because it's not rash or foolish. I think I told you about that time in Jamaica, didn't I, where that brother came up to the pastor and says, Pastor, the Lord has just told me that if I run at that wall, I'll go straight through it. And the pastor said, go ahead. And he ran at the wall and bloodied nose, big bruise on his head. The pastor called him over and he said, what did you learn? He said, never do that again. See, God is not calling us to do rash and foolish things. In fact, he tells us to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So you know, I've said before, when Hashmat goes out, he has to pray, shall I go left, right, or center in my car today? Because there's traps laid in some of those countries. Well, thank God we haven't got that. but we need to measure those things. And so he said, hey, God, hey, Jesus, can we have a little talk about this? Because I've heard this man's not the best. He's not a really pro-Christian. In fact, he's been pulling them all in and letting them be killed and putting them in prison and treating Christians really badly. Now, God, I know, we didn't say this, this is my interpretation. God, I know that you're sovereign, and I know that you know everything. I know there's nothing that's hidden from you, but are you sure? Isn't it marvelous that Jesus tells him the future about what's going to happen? Yeah? He says, he's already praying and he's seen you going in a prayer. Boom, boom, boom. You know what? I found out this, that when we begin to take the risk, we found out God's been there before us. Yeah? And I'm looking for that in my life every week. I was in a prayer meeting on Wednesday and some young women were in there who've just come to Christ in the last couple of weeks. And I didn't really know them at all, never met them before. And I'm in the prayer and God just says to me, tell her the Beatles song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. God, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is a way of saying LSD and get high. Can you remember that? Anybody remember that? Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Right? So I said, what am I supposed to say to her? Go home and have some ganja. And I'm talking to God like, so Ananias and me, we get on well. We're going to have a good time in heaven chatting about these things. Right? And God says, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. So I just said to her, now, I did know her name was Lucy, right? That's all I knew. I said, Lucy, I don't know if this means anything to you, but God's just told me that your name, to say this over you, Lucy, your name, in the sky with diamonds. And I asked him what that was about, because I know it's about LSD when the Beatles wrote the song, and I don't like drugs at all, you know that, and what they do to people. I said, but I really felt the Holy Spirit said, you are now Lucy, right, a different Lucy, and you're no longer on the floor, but you're now in the sky with Jesus. He's lifted you up to a complete new place. And he sees you with diamonds because you're a jewel in his sight. She just burst into tears. And God was doing something in her life. But you know what? She said to me afterwards, how would you know that I've got a lovely leather bag and embossed on the front of it is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds? You know, friends, we need to start to take the risk of listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So, it means, Ananias said, we're not being stupid about this, we're going to measure it and make sure, yeah? But listen to a couple of quotes. First is this, General Patton, who helped us defeat the Germans in Europe, he said, calculated risk, that's quite different from being rash and stupid. Danger then can never be overcome without taking risks. So I want to say to you, as John Wimber, the late John Wimber said, faith is taking a risk. Risk means we face our fears and then we faith our fears. Now, I'll come back to that little bit I've put there. But risk is stepping out into the adventure with God. You know, Jimmy Carter, the late American president, many years ago now, he wrote this. He said, go out on a limb, it's where the fruit is. Sometimes Christians, we like, we want to be tree huggers, don't we? But God wants us to go out on a limb, because that's where the fruit is. So he'd heard about Paul and he'd heard what he'd done. He'd heard the word from Jesus and he was convinced. I am convinced that when we take the risk, Jesus is guiding us to do things because he's already been at work, and actually it enables us to step out into the adventure with God. See, I realize this, and I want you to realize this morning. When you step out into the adventure with God, like Ananias, something changes in you. something changes in you. I think that might be on the next one. But here we go. No, it's not that one still. Something changes in you. See, beforehand, when Jesus is speaking to him, he's saying, I've heard a lot about this man. But he's decided because he believes he can trust Jesus that he can actually go to this man who's evil. And when he arrives, it's like he's changed into Benny Hinn, isn't it? Have you ever seen that? So he walks through the door, and instead of this man, you know, I've heard a lot about him, it's Brother Saul! Yeah? What's happened? In obedience to take the risk, God's increased his faith. When we do something, faith is active. Faith is a verb. When you do something for God, when you take the risk, do something you haven't done before and step out in God, oh my, wouldn't it, you know, goodness, your faith level changes. So he says, Brother Saul. And then more than that, it's quite amazing if you take time to look at that passage. Actually, he says, I have been sent by Jesus. Praise God. You know, I've noticed that when people step out in faith, they get a new sense of what their calling is. He says, not only have I been sent by Jesus, but now he's moved into a healing evangelist. I'm going to pray for you and you're going to get healed. Yeah? Hey, it's a disciple here, yeah? Just a disciple. And he might have been a deacon or whatever, but, you know, I'm going to pray for you now, Paul, and you're going to get healed. Oh, and by the way, when I pray for you, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, he's moving into greater levels now, yeah? And then he says, and you know, we're going to have a meal afterwards so we can get to know each other. Something has exploded in his life, and taking the risk has actually changed him. Robert Schuller, pastor in America, said this: what great thing would you attempt if you knew you could not fail? What great thing would you attempt if you knew you could not fail? With Jesus, can we fail? What do we stand to lose if we make a mistake? Somebody laughs at us. But you know what? I've found that actually it's very rare that God actually makes fools of us. Because if we've been sharpening up our spiritual life in advance of our story coming up, then it's amazing that when we do take those risks, God begins to use us. Begins to do things through us. And we get a sense, hey God, you can do something here that I can't do. So, do you want to be changed? It comes when we start to take the risk. I can't tell you names and places, but a friend of mine in North Africa, a few years ago under the time of General Gaddafi in Libya, there was a knock on his door one night. He was the only Christian in this university. Got a knock on his door one night. Two men in uniforms, in a big car. Said, we've got to take you to see someone. When that happened in Libya, it was not good news usually. So he just said, oh God, I don't know what this is about, but what shall I do? And he just got his coat on and he heard God say, go. Go. And they drove him to this big house, let him in. It turned out that this man that he'd been brought to see, top government official, took him into an office, sent the guards away, sat him down and said to him, I've been having a dream. And he said, I didn't know what to do about it, but every time I came downstairs in the night in my dream and I went to my bookcase and I opened the bookcase and instead of pulling the Quran out, when I pulled it out, I was pulling a Bible out. What's that about? Because God gave me your name. Yeah? So So Paul's praying, and God tells him, Ananias is coming. God gave me your name, so you must be a Christian, he says to my friend. So, have you got a Bible? Oh my goodness, Bibles are illegal. If I give him a Bible, if I get him a Bible, is this a trap? Whatever. But he senses again, it's God. He says, I can get you one. Long story short, over the next few weeks, the cars appearing at his house a number of times in each week until finally he says, I've read this Bible and I've read this New Testament and I want to know how I can follow Jesus. And he leads him to prayer. You see, friends, who knows what's going to happen if you'll take the risk. I would love to have been the preacher the night Billy Graham got saved. And who knows? Who knows? But just like Peter, at some point, we've got to realize that Jesus is not in the boat. He's on the water. He's out there. And you have got to get out of the boat. And Jesus will always say, come. He'll always say, come. So, winding up, wrong way around. Go on, you Christian. Step out into some risky living for Jesus. You'll always miss 100% of the things you don't do. It's true, that isn't it? So I want to encourage you today. Give that invitation for our story events. And somebody says, I'm not feeling too well today at work, offer to pray for them. When somebody's talking rubbish and asks your opinion, speak godliness in your conversations. Andrew was telling me a funny thing this week. A guy came into the Oasis Center and all he wanted to do was pull Donald Trump down. Now, that's not hard, is it? Right? But Andrew knows this person. He's not a Christian. But he said, God, I don't want to get involved in this. What can I say? So he just said to him, how is Donald Trump going to help you to change the way you're bringing up your children? Conversation changed. You see, because it's not Donald Trump that helps me to bring my family up. It's God. See, God wants you to bring godliness into your conversations. Not dodge the issue. Not leave it to somebody else. What about obeying that prophetic insight the Holy Spirit gave you when you were praying the other day? And then you go out and somebody you meet seems to match those circumstances you felt impressed upon you by the Holy Spirit. Go on. Share your story. Boldness will arise in you. And like Ananias, who knows what could happen? That must be the last one. I want to just ask us to stand in a moment. Not yet. Because I want you to do this. Because you believe what I'm saying this morning. It really is time, as Christians, to start taking some risks for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Really is time. Because the stories that we want to come out of our story will not just be the story of what God's doing newly in people's lives, but what God has done through you. It'll be the next chapter of your story. Amen? So if you're saying this morning, honestly from your heart, God, I just got to start taking some risks for Jesus. And I want to step into risky Christian living. I just want you to stand right now. From your heart, you're just going to pray. Just going to pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Praise God. The Holy Spirit's here right now, and he's there ready to fill you up, ready to give you insights, ready to bring revelation, ready to bring faith, ready to give you boldness, like in Acts 4, when they all prayed and the Holy Spirit came, and it said, and they were all filled with boldness and spoke the word of God. Praise God. Why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord this morning as we draw this meeting to a close. Lord, can you say this with me? Lord Jesus, I'm ready for some risky living because I want to see your power. I want to see people saved. I want to see people healed. I want to see transformation. And I know you want to use me. I'm ready for some risky Christian living. Amen.